so excited. I hope the robes are custom designed.
Well, I'm just glad to be here. I was afraid that I'd end up at the other place.
Now, you asked Christ into your heart and made him Lord of your life. What made you think you wouldn't be here?
I know, but I didn't always act like I believed what he said. I could have done more. I guess I would have had more time.
Just look at this stack of crowns. I hope I get one with lots of jewels in it.
Is that all you can think about? I mean, we're about to join our Lord's Supper, and we're going to see friends that we haven't seen in years. Your family, my family, our friends.
Let's see. You must be Thelma and Mike Hoffman.
Yes, yes, yes. We've just arrived. Now, how soon do we get to try on the robes and crowns?
Be patient, Mrs. Hoffnagel. We have to go over a few forms first. We want to be sure you get the right things. The Lord has kept track of it here. Let's start with you, Mr. Hoffnagel.
Oh, okay.
Everyone gets a robe. This looks like the right size. Try this on.
Oh, hey, yeah, perfect fit.
You don't think it's maybe a little wide in the shoulders?
It's fine, Thelma. Let the woman do her job.
Now we need some shoes to walk on the streets of gold. You need a special sole on your sandals. Try those on.
Wow. Oh, well, a perfect fit. These are really comfortable. You know, this reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, where the father gives his son a robe.
He also gave him a ring and a feast.
Oh, that's right.
Because you guided so many boys, you receive a ring. It says here that you like sapphires. You shall have them.
Oh,
that is gorgeous. Oh, I hope you finish with him soon. I'm so excited about what I'm going to get. I was always partial to diamonds. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a crown. We need to go over a few details of your life first. Oh. Let's see. You were married. You had 3 children. Supported them faithfully and brought them up in a good church home.
Although I don't mind telling you, I did have to, you know, nudge him a little bit on those Sundays when there is a championship football game on.
Remember when you were out of work for 6 months and a missionary was out of money? You gave him your last $5.
I had totally forgotten about that. But, you know, I still had more money than he did, and missionaries are on the front line of the spiritual battle, so...
I certainly never forgot about that. I was so angry at the time. How did I know an unexpected check would show up the next day?
That's worth a ruby.
Oh, I've just seen it. I've just seen it. It's just the crown for me. Oh, it brings out the flecks of gold in my eyes. It's exciting. The shoes.
For service to others, you receive a diamond. There was a rainy day when you helped a lady change her tire.
Yeah, but it was raining and her baby was crying. And, you know, I got in trouble at work because I showed up late because of that.
You took your boys fishing and you taught them about God and how he created the world. You also had a rule of no criticizing at the dinner table.
And don't forget about all the times he taught Sunday school and spoke at our club.
We'll get to all those things, Mrs. Hoffnagel. Just be patient. You helped a widowed lady by befriending her son.
Oh, that would be Mrs. Goodspeed. Her husband died young and left her with Ted. He was quite a handful until my Mike took him under his wing.
You also wrote notes to encourage people on their birthday or on the mission field.
You did? When did you do that? I didn't know you did that.
Let's see. You were far from perfect, but you loved God so much, even when others considered you a fanatic and a fool.
Yeah, I just did what I thought I needed to do. I didn't realize all this would count for eternity.
Try your crown on now.
Oh, that looks gorgeous. Looks like a perfect fit.
I don't know about this, Thelma. I need to think this over.
Okay, Mrs. Hoffnagel, it's your turn. The women's robes are over here. Try this on.
Okay, and it doesn't feel quite right in the waist. Does this make me look fat?
You look fine, Thelma.
And I did think the material would be a little fancier. Is this the only style you have?
Yes.
Oh, very well. Now, my shoes. I like a little bit of a heel. And could I please have a jeweled pair?
Try these on.
Okay, well, this wasn't quite the pair I had in mind.
But how do they feel?
All right, well... they are quite comfortable, but I was never partial to brown. Do you have anything else?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Hoffnagel, but these will be your shoes.
Well, you look really nice in them, Thelma.
All right. Now, about my diamond ring. Let me look at the orders here. I don't see anything about a ring.
Oh, you probably just missed it, dear. Look again.
If you were to receive a ring, it would be right here in this space.
You see, I would like my diamond ring. So why don't you let me speak to the person over you, your manager?
Very well. Just a moment.
What seems to be the problem, Mrs. Hoffnagel?
Well, this person here can't seem to find any record of my diamond ring.
Well, no, ma'am. There's nothing here about a ring. If you have any questions, you will be seeing the master soon. You can ask him.
But what about all the times I taught the ladies' Bible club?
Well, you did that to show off your Bible knowledge. It doesn't count.
Oh. What about all the singing in the choir and the solos?
I'm sorry. Again, that was all done with the wrong motives. Your paperwork is in order.
Oh. Okay, well, let's talk about my crown. Now, I gave my testimony many times. That must be worth at least an opal.
No, you were seeking your own glory, not God's.
Well, I witnessed to our neighbors, Mrs. Bigger and Mrs. Muggerman.
Your main reason to talk to them about your church and Jesus was to show off how much you knew.
Well, I don't believe this. What kind of records do you people keep?
Well, calm down, Thelma.
Right here it shows how many times you were called on to serve, but you were too busy.
Well, I couldn't help that. They only called on my club days.
You had a chance to make friends with the lonesome lady on your block.
Oh, her. Well, she always dressed so frumpy, and all she wanted to do was drink tea and complain. I would have been so embarrassed if any of my friends had come over while she was there.
She needed a friend. Because you didn't help her, God sent someone else.
Well, she did start to dress better and act more normally. Was that why?
It says you were a good mother. You kept the children clean and clothed, but sometimes you didn't take the time to listen to them.
Well, you know how children are. They only wanted to talk when I was on the phone or fixing dinner, and then when I wanted to talk, they would just boop, disappear.
Mike said you were a good wife.
Well, he always was so patient with me. I was always right. Thought I was. Never let him get a word in edgewise. Guess after a while, he just gave up on me.
I love you, Thelma.
I never realized I had such a rotten attitude about so many things. Do I get to keep the robe and shoes? Do I get to stay?
Yes, you can stay. But unfortunately, you won't have a crown to throw at the master's feet.
Oh. Well, I guess I don't really deserve one.
You have your good points. We're here together. You can help me throw my crown.
I wish people would realize the true reward comes when the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Not very funny, was it? And it may not be very funny when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that line that marks my eternal life and have him judge how I spent the dot, the little time that I have in this mortal life, this present sphere of responsible decision. Open your Bible with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the next few moments, I want you to think about three men who made the right decision. They focused their lives like Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was one of five young men who died at the hands of the Alka Indians in South America. He died as a martyr. And yet, early in his walk with the Lord, he came to this conclusion. "A man is no fool," he wrote, "who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." If you hear that and you think that that's soft-headed, mushy, missionary kind of talk, you miss the point. Jim Elliot was saying he wanted to gain as much as he could with his life effort. But he didn't want to put his gains in an investment that he would lose. Listen again to what he said. A man is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. That's the point of this worldview. Point is that Bible Christians, through the Word of God, have a view of the future, understand eternity, and are living with eternity's values in view. That's what Paul was doing. You read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, his understanding of the scene we just saw depicted by the drama. Paul writes in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, we make it our aim, we make it our resolve, we make it our purpose, whether present or absent," that means whether in the dot or on the line, whether in this present mortal life or with the Lord in that sphere of eternity that will never end, "whether we are living or dead, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." There's an evaluation. There's a test coming. And in that test, God is going to sift through the decisions of our lives and weigh them into two categories: what is good and what is worthless. The worthless, he's going to destroy, and we will suffer loss. There will be no gain from those decisions, those activities. What he evaluates as good, for that we will receive rewards. Let your eyes go back up to the end of chapter 4, where Paul is talking about how this worked out in his life in this present moment. He says in verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul categorized his decisions, weighed his decisions into two categories: what was eternal, what was temporal. And he observed that much of what lasts is not seen. That is, you can't count it and calibrate it. It's not on your scorecard. It's not something that other people can see and appreciate even. But it's something that God sees and God notes and God weighs and God values. And those things are eternal. So Paul was always focused on the invisible things, the things that last forever. Two men who brilliantly illustrate this for us. They're both spoken about in Hebrews chapter 11. The first one is Noah. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Noah, being warned by God concerning things that were not yet seen, that the world was going to be washed away in a flood of water, that everyone around him and everything around him was going to disappear, that the world was going to be destroyed by a worldwide flood. Being warned about that flood, Noah did a very wise thing. He built an ark. And the text tells us that because Noah built an ark, he saved his family. Now you can be sure that his neighbors and friends were not supportive in this work. And you can be sure that it was a difficult task. Genesis tells us that it took somewhere between 100 and 120 years for Noah to complete this task, day in and day out, for that long period of time, Noah was focused on something that made no sense to his neighbors. But Noah was looking beyond the moment. Noah was thinking about the coming change that he and his family and neighborhood are going to go through. And Noah was vesting his energy, his time, his resources in something that would last beyond and take him through and land him safe on the other side. What right now, what this week did you do that's going to have value 100 years from today? 1,000 years from today? What do you plan to do tomorrow that will have value and meaning and grow and increase in value 1,000,000 years from today? Noah built an ark. And because Noah built the ark, we're here today. Every one of us in this room trace our heritage back to Noah through one of his three sons. Everyone in the world. Red and yellow, black and white. Whatever their language barrier may be, whatever their cultural distinctions, we all are alive today on the earth because Noah made a choice. His choice was to not live in the dot, but to live in the dot for the line. There's another man mentioned there in the book of Hebrews who also made that kind of decision. He was a young man who was born into a slave family. Through a gracious providence of God, he became adopted into Pharaoh's household, got the best education available in all of Egypt, and was raised as Pharaoh's son. When he was an adult, he had to make a decision. And the text reminds us that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the treasures of Egypt for a season. Because he had respect concerning the reward. As Moses looked at a life of poverty, a life of slavery, a life with no benefits, a life of human misery and shame among a people that God had given an irrefutable promise. And as he weighed that against the treasures of gold and silver and education and power and prestige of being Pharaoh of Egypt, he chose what for the moment seemed foolish. But we all speak with honor today about the man Moses, and we're not even sure what the name of the Pharaoh was who sat on the throne in Egypt when Moses made this decision. One of the worldviews of the Christian church is we're not living for the moment. I'm not here for today. My eyes, my heart, my values are there. I am looking out into eternity, certain that I'm going to spend eternity somewhere, and having made peace with God through Jesus Christ, I know that I'm going to heaven. Now the question is, how can I today maximize my heavenly investment? And sometimes that calls for me to do things that my neighbors think are weird, dumb, stupid, foolish, idiotic, unreasonable. But Moses and Noah and Paul and Jim Elliot would say, you're thinking right. You got it right. A man is no fool who surrenders what he can't keep to gain what he can never lose. Our Father, this morning, I pray that you would take to our hearts, each of us, this word, this truth, that we have the privilege of living with eternity's values in view, and we must. Help us this morning to lift up our eyes beyond the present and to not measure a success in terms of comfort or ease or power or accumulation of things. Help us to measure the quality of our lives against those things that are going to last forever. Change our perspective. Transform our minds. Help us to think with eternity's values in view. My friend, this morning, Jesus once asked a question that frames this worldview. He said, "What is a person advantaged if he gains the whole world, this present world, and loses his own soul?" That's the worldview we're talking about. Not living my life focused upon what is immediate and temporal, passing, but focusing my life, my energies, my decisions on those things that last forever. Things like other people. Things like those processes that bring the truth to other people. Things like prayer. Investments in time today that have eternal value. I trust that if the Lord calls me home this week, I'll be richer next Sunday than I am today. That my treasure is up there, not here. If you die this week, will you be richer because you're going to your reward, or poorer because you're leaving behind everything you've ever lived for? Christian friend, live for the line, not the dot. And if this morning you've been with us and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Savior and Lord, I encourage you to do that. And if you don't understand how to do that and what that means, when I finish this prayer, I invite you to come. There'll be friends right here at the front of the church. They'll be more than happy, delighted to open God's Word and to speak with you privately and personally about how you can leave this auditorium knowing you're on your way to heaven. And then you too can begin to focus your life to gain what you can never lose. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your word, for the invitation of your word. Thank you for the truth that calls and beckons us to present wisdom for eternal gain. Remind us this morning that you are committed to serious gain. You want us to truly be rich and enriched. But you don't want us to have that kind of wealth and riches that's only temporal and so transient. So this morning, challenge us to think deeply about laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Dismiss us to think on these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.